Welcome to the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast, where we meet the joys and challenges of our sensitivity with open minds and hearts to awaken our best highly sensitive selves. Welcome, friends. It's Tanya, and today we're talking to the highly sensitive CEO, Kelly Dobb. After working in the creative industry for her entire career, Kelly couldn't understand why she felt different from other entrepreneurs. Despite running a highly successful education business, speaking on dozens of stages, and even winning multiple awards, Kelly still felt like something was, quote, wrong with her. She set out to determine why she felt so overwhelmed and unfulfilled in business and in life. That's when she discovered HSP and the traits of a highly sensitive person. Kelly went on a quest to find a new way of living and working. Since then, Kelly has completely reset her business and reclaimed her peace. Now she helps other highly sensitive entrepreneurs do the same through consulting, education, and what she calls slowpreneurship. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
So can you tell us a little bit just about your journey as a highly sensitive person? When did you discover that you're highly sensitive?
Well, interestingly enough, I actually came to HSP sort of the long way, roundabout. I've talked to a lot of people that will tell me that they learned that they were an HSP and then they did all of these things to change their life. And I had sort of made all these changes to my life and still couldn't like find the missing key. Like why did these things work? What was it all about? And then I was in a bookstore and ran across a book that said The Handbook for Highly Sensitive People. And I was like, well, that's interesting. I picked it up. And in the first, like maybe five pages, there was like a checklist of the traits of highly sensitive people. And I was like, check, 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 check. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was sort of like, you know, the brain emoji. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I took the book, obviously I bought the book, took it home, and I literally read it all in that one day. And it was like, everything, all the pieces and parts that sort of felt like disconnected in my life were like, oh, that this piece goes here and this piece goes there. And it just made sense. All of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, this makes total sense. And then, so this is about a year and a half ago. And that was when I started, I was at the midst of sort of breaking everything down in my life and in my business and resetting everything. And it was like, oh, and it really informed all of the rest of the decisions that I made as I moved forward with, you know, the new direction for my business and everything that I was doing, because it was like, I have already found the antidotes of sorts. I just didn't have the key that I hate to use the word diagnoses, but essentially that's what it was. It was like the diagnoses, the word that made everything else make sense. And so it really, it changed everything for me, literally my entire life in that one book on the shelf at the bookstore.
It was a divine intervention, I think, sometimes in things like that. And yeah. And I think a lot of times too, you know, things don't maybe necessarily come to us before we're ready for them.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you are the highly sensitive CEO. Can you tell us what exactly that means? And then what called you to this work and this path that you're on now?
Yeah. So when I learned that I was a highly sensitive person, I had been going through so many other businesses. I worked in the live event industry. I had been consulting in the live event industry, speaking, traveling, doing a ton of press work and media and content creation and education and courses and all of these things. And COVID literally It didn't just like slow my business. It just completely kiboshed everything related to live events. And because my clients were suffering, obviously, I had this amazing opportunity to either continue trying to push my business as it existed or step really far back. And internally, I had already been feeling like something wasn't right. Like I was overworking. I didn't know at that time to call it overstimulated, but my nervous system was completely overstimulated. I was a classic, overworked, overachieving HSP, trying to fit into a non-HSP business world. And so I was doing all the things and just never feeling internally like it looked good on the outside, right? Because we're great at that, but it wasn't great on the inside for me. And so that was when I learned about HSP, I actually started thinking about my business as it related to HSP, where I had been, what I had done. And I was like, oh my gosh, the symptoms that were present in my business are symptoms of HSP, right? And then I started realizing that my clients who had the best success working with me, the students that had the best success with my content were also HSPs. And so I started polling them and I sent, I mean, probably to over 100 clients and students. And I said, is this you? Does this trait describe you? And they were like, yes. And I was like, oh my gosh. And all of a sudden, it made sense. And I was telling a client, a longtime client who obviously turned friend. And I said, this is the key. This is the missing key to why my clients are getting success from the type of content and the type of consulting that I'm offering them. And the only way that we can really specify and help them understand why they're getting that success is by pointing out the traits of being a highly sensitive person and making a correlation between those traits in their personality and the traits in their business. Because really the business reflects the traits of the CEO. And so that was really where that came from. Was you are a highly sensitive CEO. I am a highly sensitive CEO, and the actions that I take are very much defined by my trait as a highly sensitive person. And I think that it's incredibly true for every business. And so my goal was to get people, especially in the creative industry, which is where I primarily worked. I'm going to guess that we know that 20% of the total population is would be considered HSP. But I would say that the creative entrepreneur industry is probably more like 50 to 60% of them are highly sensitive people. They just don't know it. They've never used those words. They've never been put together to understand why the things, the trouble, those really like specific roadblocks we go around and around perfectly mirror HSP. And so all of a sudden it was like this. It makes sense. I can help you now. I can break through those things that I couldn't break through before because we just blamed them on being creative, or we blamed them on the industry itself, or we blamed them on, you know, our lack of accountability or all these other things. And all of a sudden it just made sense on what could happen if we reset our business to align with our sensitivities. And that was where HSCEO was born.
That's fantastic. What a journey that must have been. Did you? Go ahead.
When I say I tore it down, I literally tore it all down. I mean, my group was almost 9K. My mailing list was over 10K. My followers were huge. And I deleted everything. I closed the group. I deleted my mailing list. I literally tore everything down in my business so that I could reset it to align with the life and the business I wanted to have so that I could be the most aligned and balanced sensitive that there was. Does that make sense? Like I'm not perfect, but at least I have the option to be who I am, feel what I feel, and exist in a world where it's a possibility to be a highly sensitive entrepreneur and a successful human.
Yeah. And I mean, what I think that's a true testament just to you as a human being to be able to do that, to say that I'm going to prioritize my mental health, my physical health, all of these things that I've discovered. And when all those pieces started to make sense about being a highly sensitive person, and then take that and then seek out others that you can help specifically instead of just, you know, going for the, you know, I have however many followers on Instagram and all of that.
And you know what? The real truth is when you really understand your sensitivity, I really don't care anymore how many followers I have or how many group members. I really don't care. And that I'm not trying to sound like aloof. I'm saying I would rather break through with one human. I would rather that 10 people get together and really change their life than like having 9,000 people that argue over tablecloths. You know, like it really, I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm great at building community, but because I'm in HSP, right? But I am intolerant anymore with the lack of depth. So I just reset everything so that I could have that.
And that's fantastic. And especially the, just the feeling I think of grounding and centering that can bring to us as HSPs to just say, look, this is how it is. And we're highly sensitive and, you know, we don't have to, I've said this before in other podcasts, we don't have to follow the structure and the rules that non-HSPs have created for us, right? It's okay for us to make our own rules in a sense.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So what's the biggest challenge then that you faced in your entrepreneurial journey in your businesses as an HSP and how have you handled it?
Well, I'll tell you how I handled it poorly and then I'll tell you how I fixed it. Okay. So, cause I'm great at handling things poorly first. I'm a school of hard knocks. We'll put it that way kind of person, but, I am a fabulous, over complicator. So we know that HSP is one of our main traits is depth of processing, right? Yes. We also know that we're highly intuitive, right? So, and empathic. So when you have gathered a huge audience of people that all have opinions about how you should be creating and what you should be creating and what you should be saying, and you can understand it, feel it, listen to it, and then intuitively, turn it into a creation, right? What you do is you end up overcomplicating and overcreating, right? And so this is true for, and I also want to say really quickly, I do think that entrepreneurs, especially CEOs, can sort of fall on two spectrums. You can either be what I call the achiever, the HSP achiever, or you can be the avoider. Right. And I have seen this over and over and over again, depending on what side of the scale you fall on, your behaviors and business are different. Right. The avoider has ideas, they have things, but they're like too afraid to launch them, or they're really slow to launch. And not that that's bad. Slow is great. Like, but it's also not the right kind of slow. It's like a avoidance slow where, I was the achiever type where I'm going to drive through, I'm going to knock down the walls. I'm not going to feel the things that I feel until I hit the wall. And then I have to feel them. And so as the achiever type, what happens is you start to create a lot of clutter because you're overthinking, overcreating, overanalyzing, overfeeling, overlistening. And so you start to sort of like create what I called clutter in my business. Like just like your home, you know, if you get busy, if you're a mom and you get really busy and your house just ends up full of random clutter everywhere. Like why did this cup end up under the bed? Right. It's just because of the way that your life is that you're just constantly doing and you haven't stopped to pick up the cup under the bed. And that was sort of how my business became, was this over cluttered, too big for its own britches kind of situation that I could no longer hold in my hands. And then when at that point, it was like getting so full. And then COVID hit and it was like, oh, I'm just setting it all down. It was just like a very easy release. Now I understand that when I use my intuition to create with intention, I create something much better, much faster, and it's much more useful. So what I find is that I'm not creating as many things. I'm creating less things, but I'm creating more meaningful and more useful things. And I've let that concept sort of trickle into the rest of my everyday living as well. So when I make something, for example, or I do something with my children, instead of thinking about what's the most I can do, I'm thinking about what's the best thing I can do that will get me the most results. And so that really changes the dynamic of how you run your business and how, and really how you run your life, because there were a lot of things I didn't need to be doing. You know, like I was doing them because I was overworking and I was overachieving and I was trying to please everyone, and really just scaling back and saying, what is the best thing I can do right now to that will make the greatest impact for the future? And that simple shift for me really helps me to ground into my intentions and not to overcreate for my business, because really that's a scarcity. It's like a fear. It's not really, it's not really a positive business action in the long term.
Yeah, I think I love what you said about intention. I think that there's definitely not enough focus on that, not just in business in general, but just in our lives, just even waking up each morning and setting an intention for, you know, yep, just one thing that you need to do that day, and just centering on that as opposed to spreading ourselves too thin. You also talked about people pleasing, which I think can definitely be an issue that we face as HSPs as well.
Absolutely. And I know that it definitely has something to do, you're, whether you're an achiever or an avoider, the difference between how you act in the people-pleasing mode and what your response is there is very much dependent on your upbringing, right? Like, I grew up in a setting where my parents, were in visible roles in ministry, and that really changed what my responsibility, what my role was, and what I, the way that I behaved in order to be accepted, right? And the way that I moved my, who I was, changed who I was in order to be the model of what they wanted me to be, and to be less dramatic and less sensitive and less all of those things, right? So that I could mold myself to fit into that, to that very visible scenario. So when your parents, for example, are very visible characters that have to have a visible job that requires you to be a visible character, what you find is you sort of create this achiever personality that then goes out feeling that if I can please people, then they'll like me, and then I'll have done a good job. Where the avoider on the other side will say, I like the people pleasing side isn't nearly as scary because they just avoid people, period, or they avoid the concept of having to please people. That scares them, and so they shrink back into themselves. So there's just a very different way based on sort of what your upbringing was, especially if you were, if you have any trauma surrounding how you were perceived by, your upbringing in general.
Yeah. All of those things shape us, and we're rarely, if ever, taught how to process them to get mm-hmm. through them. And then they just stay with us.
I think they create us, or we let them create us. Mm-hmm. And I think really finding the balance that you need as a highly sensitive person, and then also as a business owner, is to sort of bring all of those things into awareness. Not that you have to cure them immediately, because you won't, because I'm constantly going back to like, wait, what's my intention here? And who am I pleasing here? And why do I feel like I need to please that person? And constantly, but having the awareness that this is an action that you take, or that you are afraid of the opinions of others, and therefore it causes you to recede, just having that awareness alone helps you to make better decisions as a business owner.
I agree 100%. And as a human being.
Agree. Yeah, totally.
So In your experience and in your opinion, what would you say is one of the most or the most important strength or self-belief that highly sensitive people need to find a career path? They don't have to maybe necessarily own their own business, but just a career path that will suit their sensibilities.
So I definitely think that there's one specific thing, and there's a lot of answers here. So I don't want to skip over some things, like obviously you're looking at what the work schedule looks like. You're looking at the alignment of the skill set. You're looking at the alignment. But I really actually think that below all of that, the level, the deeper level of all of those like tips for having the best career, is that intuitively, internally, when you arrive at your desk space, wherever that is, it could be where I am right now, where you are, or your office at work, or your cubicle, or your register, whatever it is, that internally, you know that this particular action or the actions that you're going to take inside of that day align with the type of life you know you need. Now, I'm never, ever going to discount the concept of I literally have to make money to live. Like sometimes that's true, especially as a business owner. Sometimes you just have to make money so that you can keep your employees in business, so that you can keep your business running. And sometimes you will have to do things that don't feel like 100% exactly what you would do. And do those things for as long as you have to, right? With the idea that I'm going to end up creating a business that I love and that feels aligned with my purpose, right? So here's a great example. One of the issues that I struggled with before, especially as an overachiever, is the number of hours I would spend on my computer. Okay. Cause my business was primarily online education. So it was a lot of computer time. And when we're talking computer time, I'm talking hours of typing and hours of meetings and hours of webinars and podcasts and speaking and all of those things. And I would spend so much time focused on my computer that by the time I went to lay down for bed, my brain was just, I had avoided all of my feelings and all of my sensitivities all day long, that my brain was just lit up like a Christmas tree, right? And I could not rest. And so I had to create a new business that allowed me to take breaks, that would help me to reset and digest and to allow my brain and my nervous system to take interval rests, right? So I changed the way I handle meetings, and I changed the things I say yes to, and I changed the things that I offer, because I have to realign my sensitivities with the actions that I take. So if you're in a career where the actions that you're taking feel so out of alignment with internally what you know you need, then you know you need to make a change, right? And if that's your own business and you created that inside of your own business, like I did, it's time to reset. You just have to push the reset button and start over. You can oftentimes take lots of those things with you, right? I didn't change what I know. I didn't change how I help people. That didn't change. What changes is the package in which I put it in.
Yeah, I think what you said, changing things that we say yes to, I think that's huge. And the power of no is just aligning with our intentions and what we need.
Yeah, and using it as a full sentence. No. Yes.
Exactly. So what have you enjoyed most about being your own boss as an HSP? Obviously you've had, you know, a lot of time and experience being in business on your own, but what's something that you've enjoyed most that maybe as in this new path that you're on, and what do you enjoy the least?
Oh, that's a good question too. Okay. What do I enjoy the most? You know, what's really fabulous. And I want to add here really quick is that in my everyday life, we've adopted a lot of slow living principles. So, and I actually very much believe that slow living and the principles of slow, simple living, are the antidote to to the overstimulated life the HSPs face, right? So when they're feeling overstimulated, 9 times out of 10, if they can slow down their life and follow these slow living principles, it really will change their everything. So that is the first thing that I have to say to tell you what my favorite is. But when you start following slow living principles, it allows you to look at life as sort of an ebb and flow of energy instead of like a mountain I'm climbing. Does that make sense? So you're climbing this mountain constantly and you're trying to achieve or work up the mountain, or you constantly feel like you're climbing, where slow living allows you to have peaks and valleys of energy that you're putting out. So what's really cool is yesterday we're in the middle of a 3-day course inside of our program. And, but before I recorded my sessions and got everything ready, I painted a thrifted mirror I found. Okay. And when I was done recording my session, or when I was done doing my work, I stopped and put on a second coat, right? Because I believe now that those peaks and valleys of fast and slow, of work and rest and enjoyment and fun, work and fun, right? Are really what allows me to continue to keep working, right? And I think it was the fact that I was constantly trying to climb that I was so exhausted. So I allow myself, my favorite part is that in this new mindset, I allow space for painting mirrors. Instead of waiting for a Saturday, or, oh my gosh, I have to get that thing done, or, ugh, I bought that at the thrift store 3 years ago. I should probably paint it by now. I literally am allowing space for the things that I want equally with the things that I need to do in order to make my business successful, which then ultimately turns them into the things that I want, right? My least favorite thing about being an HSP in business, I think, is how hard it is to help non-HSPs understand what it means to be an HSP in business. Because I'm certainly never going to ask them to no longer be a non-HSP person, like, or to have these traits, or, but there's so much internal and societal pressure to live up to a certain capacity or to live up to a certain, all created by the Industrial Revolution. Okay. All created by the consumerism that is a result of the Industrial Revolution. Even the definition of the word sensitive changed as a result of the Industrial Revolution. So, that sort of, wait, you painted a mirror when you were supposed to be working? Like, or, oh, wait, you're not launching a new product every single month. And, oh, wait, you're not, like Kohl's runs a promotion every other day. How come you're not? You know, like, it really is, becomes sort of like a counter, you become sort of a HSP activist of sorts, where you're saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And I need you to understand why I'm saying no. I still love you. I still appreciate you. I just disagree with your way of living. It doesn't work for me. And you can go on living that way and you can go on working that way, but you need to know that if you're a highly sensitive person and an entrepreneur, or period, a living human, you're going to have to do things differently than others. And that's okay. And trying to get other people to understand, or even some battles are worth the fight and some are not. And so as I've learned these things about myself, there are some things I've had to let go, some relationships, some partnerships, some things like that, that you just have to let go because they will never understand or be able to accommodate your new way of living. And that is just part and parcel with, you know, realizing that you have a no tolerance policy for the balance required as a highly sensitive person.
Yeah. And all those things you're describing, I mean, I call it the hamster wheel, or, you know, whatever, especially if you're in the United States, and just the Western world in general. I mean, this is the track that we are put on from birth, right? We're supposed to be aggressive. We're supposed to be assertive. We're supposed to be all of these things, you know, and scarcity, like you said, as well, being able to share, you know, on social media or in a group or something like that. No, these are my followers. You can't have them, you know, even if you have different messages to share and things like that. So it's all part of this bigger kind of mentality, I think, that doesn't always sit so well with us as highly sensitive people, I think.
Yeah. It's really interesting. If you start studying the concept of sensitivity, and then as it relates to things like socializing or the idea of being social, and then as social turned into social media, and as you know, work turned into the fast pacedness of our life, if you start really studying and looking at even the etymology of the words and understanding how did this concept, right, come about, really, it came about as a way to control the 9-to-5 worker, right? The word sensitive simply meant a person who feels, right? And then in the Industrial Revolution, when a person didn't meet the qualifications or couldn't shut off their feelings to work your 9-to-5, right? Then they were called sensitive. He's too sensitive, or she's too sensitive to do XYZ job.
Okay. So they labeled it as a negative.
And so all of a sudden it turned into a negative. The same thing happened with socialize, but in the opposite spectrum. The word socialize before the Industrial Revolution simply meant to take care of your home and your family. Right. And then it wasn't until after the Industrial Revolution and then into the 1900s that the word socialize turned into the concept of society. Right. Or a person of society or out in society. Right. And then after that, it was in the like later 1900s that the word socialize then became to adapt a person to a specific society set of rules. Whoa, where did that come from? From the concept of taking care of your home and your family, mm-hmm. right? We changed these rules due to consumerism and due to these concepts. So when you, as a highly sensitive person, choose slow living practices or a slow business or a highly sensitive business rule set, you're essentially resetting the entire concept around what it means to have today's business, right? Not to mention, we look at the Great Resignation happening right now. Why is that happening? Because people are done. They're resetting what it means to be an employee, what it means to have a balanced life. These kinds of conversations are no longer optional. And so more and more people are going to, in my opinion, start recognizing that inside of their business. And they're going to be able to say, I'm sorry, I respect you, I appreciate you, but this is not how I'm going to choose to live. And it's not okay to say that your business must create a certain amount of revenue or must have a certain number of employees or must do these things, because that's not necessarily true. That's all of that is societal's creation for you as a business owner and is untrue.
That's amazing insights.
Yeah, all manufactured.
Yes, that's very true. We don't, I think a lot of times because we're in it, we can't see it, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times, and we just don't know what to do with all of this. And this information is something that we have to seek out for ourselves. It's not something that we're taught, right? No, so we have to go on these these detective missions for ourselves to find out all of these things about how we got here.
Right. Well, that, and, you know, you look at parents, and especially, you know, if you think about my parents specifically, at my, you know, ripe young age of 29 plus whatever. They were raised, you know, my grandfather came home from the war, right? And they were raised in a time where everyone was supposed to be the same. Your goal was to create cookie cutter children. And so that your children all looked the same. They all showed up at school. They stood in a straight line because we had lived in a world of chaos for so long that we thought that the solution was to streamline everything and make everyone sort of these toy soldiers of industry. And what we actually created is a generation now of adults who now have children that are saying, no, go be what you want to be, you know, wear the dreadlocks, you know, like do what you need to do to feel like you can really ground yourself into the type of human you want to be. Because we then were the result of parents that were toy soldiers and did not know how to, and, you know, we're sort of that generation that like tried all the new things and then technology introduced the whole world of possibilities. And so our younger children, these Gen Z kids, are starting to say, no, 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 we're not going to do this. And they're going to reset. Hopefully they're going to reset society for what it means to have a world where we can focus on balance and sensitivity and understanding emotions in a much more enlightened way. And that to me is so exciting. And what's possible is so cool for highly sensitive entrepreneurs, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge culture shift, I think, especially we can't deny it anymore. 2020 taught us many things. And one of those things is we can't close our eyes anymore to all of the things that are changing and things that need to change in the way we look at ourselves and the planet and everything.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
So as a HSP in business, how do you manage or deal with criticism? This, I think, is something that a lot of us as HSPs struggle with. Thank you for being honest up front.
Yeah, it's a really great question. And when I read it in your email, I sort of giggled because the answer is poorly. And I thought, well, I'm sure that I've put some tools in place, right, to combat criticism. But the real truth to that is I just don't think that you as a highly sensitive person and then as a highly sensitive entrepreneur have an option not to feel it, okay? So the difference is I will handle any criticism poorly. Period. End of story. What I do with the feeling though is the greater question, right? So yes, when I receive criticism, I'm of course going to feel judged. I'm going to feel like, now in the past, I would have changed my methods, or I would have made a decision based on criticism as if it was supposed to be some sort of positive feedback, right? Oh, well, if they're criticizing this, then I need to probably people please my way out of this situation. I'm still going to handle criticism poorly. I think it's just natural. But the question is, when I receive the criticism and I feel those feelings and I allow my body to feel them, I have a choice. I have a choice whether I'm going to receive it into my body. I have a choice if I'm going to receive it into my energy. I have a choice if I'm going to allow it to influence my intuition and feelings about my business and about my choices. Or if I am going to wash it through a filter of my own intuition and my own tolerance, right? So instead of saying, this person, for example, I was doing these early in my business, I was doing these seminars. They were like an hour and a half and I was calling them practicums. And they were kind of like high level labs for your business. And a very, very loud community member, well-known in the community, was like, she kept saying this, you really need to offer a course, stop doing these things. You really need to offer a course. But the truth was, as a highly sensitive person, these these practicums that I were offering were really in depth. They were like full of content. They were really heavy. And I knew that too much of those things in a course probably wouldn't work. But it became so loud, the criticism became so loud that I went ahead and just made a course. I never really wanted to make a course. I really just wanted to do these practicums, but I changed my plan based on the criticism, right? And looking back, I know that had I really washed it through my own intuition filter and said, what do I really want? And this is popular knowledge, in the online learning space, is that if your audience is telling you that they want something else, oh, I really think you should turn these into a course, right? Then listen to your audience and what they're saying and create what they're asking for. Okay, that's really cool. But when you're an empathic person, you often don't know how to separate your thoughts from the thoughts of others. And so one of the major lessons I had to teach myself is to run the criticism through my own internal filter and say, is that true about me? Is that true about my work? Is it true about what I want for my business? Does this align with the intentions I've set for what I want? And if the answer is no, I have at this point, it took some time, trust me. I just set it down. Okay, no. And I can discard it because I ran it through that filter. So I will still accept criticism poorly. But I don't have to keep it anymore. It doesn't have to live in my shoulders or in my stomach or in my body or in my business. I can check it, run it through a sort of line of questioning and then go, yep, and be done with it. And that is a sort of like huge leap for me as a highly sensitive business owner, because when you have 9,000 people constantly weighing in on what you're doing in your business, it is heavy, very heavy.
And people have a lot of opinions.
And the thing is, you have to learn about projection and mirroring, right? And the concept of like, if you're not happy with something I'm doing, right? And of course, I do think that positive feedback, or if a friend came to me and said, Kelly, when you say this, it isn't right, or when this happens or whatever, they come to you with love and true, hope for your, wishing that you do well. That's a totally different thing than someone just right out criticizing what you offer, what you sell, how you sell it, all those kinds of things. So you really have to, of course, I want you to take in that information, but on the other side of that, you have to look at what are they trying to project? What is it that's going on inside of them? Their issue with you isn't very rarely your issue. The issue is always the way that they're perceiving you. And so in that situation, you might just have to say, I don't think you're a good fit, or I don't know if, our product is right for you or what we sell is good for you. It really is not about you as much as it's about their perception of you. If you're overachieving people pleaser like me, you think, well, I can change it so that'll change their perception of me, right? But really it comes down to the tolerance of saying, no, I love me enough that I'm not going to continuously change myself to fit the desires of, these people.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. What would you say to HSPs who really want to leave their 9-to-5, people who are just starting out and they have an idea for a business and they want to start it, but they're afraid that their sensitivity might hold them back from it?
So if you are afraid that your sensitivities are holding you back from something, I'm going to immediately ask you the question, what are you avoiding? Right? That would be the first question that I ask you. What is it that you're avoiding? What's the fear that is coming up inside of you, or the emotion that's sending the triggers that tell you not to do it? Right? If you're an achiever type and you're like, oh, I'm going to quit my 9-to-5 to sell press on nails, and you haven't even thought through it, right? I'm going to ask you a question like, hey, what have you not considered right? That might make this an easier transition for you. So the question really would, I would handle it differently based on what they said to me, as far as like, do I want to set out? Obviously the first and foremost thing is HSPs really, really need to have their basic needs met in order to feel comfortable and safe. So I would say if you're in a position where your basic needs can't be met, stay where you are and start your business on the side, right? Start slow, work slow. If you're in a position where you can stop working 9 to 5, or you've already been slow and you're in this place, I really want you to run the numbers. I know that sounds very unfeeling, less intuitive kind of thing, but I really want you to run the numbers. And I really want you to say, okay, what would it look like? And what do I need to do in order to run this business efficiently so that it provides for my basic needs? And also, you know, allows me to have the life I want to live. I don't think that being a feeling person negates the need for certain amounts of statistics and numbers and things like that. I am totally a creative person, but I'm also a realist in that to run a business, you still need to know things like what's your revenue goals and what does that mean for your every season? How much do you have to make inside of each season in order to meet those revenue goals? If you don't have the business right now to meet those revenue goals, then you're right to be a little bit nervous about starting that business and you might want to spend more time sort of ramping that business up on the side. I think that HSPs, what we really need to be careful of as CEOs and executives in business is that we don't allow, we allow what we feel, our sensitivities to guide us, but not to control us, right? So we use the sensitivities to say, yes, I feel like this is the right bank to go with for my business loan, but we're not sitting there freaking out and not eating and we're having digestive issues and anxieties over getting a bank loan, right? Because we know that that is the next, let's say the next big step for running my business properly. Okay. So we need to use it properly to guide us, but not necessarily to hold us back from making wise business decisions. So I want people to learn how to take their sensitivity and sort of wrap it with sort of logic and numbers and things like that, that makes sense. They can go together. They really can go together.
Do you struggle with overanalyzing every little detail as a business owner?
What?
No, I think. And how do you manage it? If that's a yes.
Okay. So the answer to that is absolutely yes. I have not come across a person, even extroverted or high sensation seeking HSPs that are don't overanalyze. I mean, I literally will analyze the color of socks my kid wore to school that day. Like, does that mean I didn't do enough laundry? I mean, down to the tiniest little detail, I will notice it and I will overanalyze it. Okay. I think the medicine in overanalyzing is, again, awareness, right? So I've started sort of, I don't know what to call it, sort of like a mental checklist, right? Or a mental survey or filter, where I'll take the awareness of the fact that I'm overanalyzing something and put it out there. I'm probably overanalyzing this, but, and for me, I need to just speak it or write it or put it out there. And then I look at it and say, how can I simplify this? Okay. So if I'm going to overanalyze an offer, I want to, let's say, create a new offer in my business. I'm probably going to make sheets and sheets of offers and offer ideas. Ridiculous, right? Because we want to compare ourselves and we want to make the best possible offers. We have this huge depth of processing issue where we're like going through all the potential options. And so we can't ever see the forest for the trees. And so I'm going to get that out because I have to get it out. And then I'm going to go through and I'm going to say, is this needed? I do this keep, sell, and toss method, right? In your business and in everything I do in life. And so I have to keep this action, or I have to keep this idea, because this is the most aligned with what I want to do and the action I want to take. Seller things that I could outsource, or things that I could, you know, like, I don't, this is not really for me. It's an idea for someone else, right? Like, that's another concept. And then toss is like, what can I toss out of here that is not required for this thing to be successful? And I'm constantly running this over analyzation through this keep, sell, and toss method. And then once I get to the keep, I look at it for like beliefs, like, many, many times the things that we keep are our actual beliefs. Like, oh, I'm the only one that can write content for my blog. And maybe that's true. Maybe your business is 100% your voice, and so you should write your blog content, right? But is that true? Is that true? And the answer may not necessarily be yes. The answer may be no, someone else could write content for this product that I created, and I could work on, you know, being the face of this brand, or whatever the things I'm best at, or I could work on the newest creations or the new products or whatever. And so I'm constantly running it through that filter, right? What can I keep, sell, and toss from my overanalyzation? And then what's true about the things that I think I'm supposed to keep? Is it true that I'm the only one who can balance the checkbook? Probably not. Right. And so I can sort of process those things and move them into sell categories. And lots of times I'll make something, plan something out, and then I'll go through and I'll have put something in keep that I'll then move to sell, that then I then move to toss, because it's like, wait a minute, that's not really necessary. And so I don't think that the overanalyzing is bad unless you let it make decisions for you, or unless you let it clutter or complicate your overall business. Because what you'll find is that if you do allow it to, then later you have to go back and declutter your business, right? In a massive way. You're going to have to I literally like deleted hundreds and hundreds of things I had created, because I had created so much clutter in the overanalyzing and in the overcreation process that I then, had so much going on that I couldn't have even processed or kept it all up in the air. The other issue too with overanalyzing is that if you overanalyze and then you don't actually fulfill the thing that you created, then you have these feelings of failure, and you have these, what's wrong with me? I can't possibly keep up with what I created. I created this plan. Why can't I do this thing? And then you see yourself as sort of failing. Why can't I do what other businesses are doing? And that's just not the truth. It's just you created a plan that doesn't work with your sensitivities.
Yeah, we get attached, I think, you know, to these things that we create also, and we have a lot of trouble letting them go as well.
And honestly, I believe, I should say this with caution, because I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way. I believe that when an HSP creates a plan, or they create a concept, or overanalyze something as it exists in their life or their business, that internally they really believe they can do it. I don't think I've ever seen an HSP create a plan and not internally feel like they were capable, because we really do know what our capabilities are. What we don't understand is that we can be very mercurial, because we are so influenced by our environments and our sensitivities and our emotions that we can't repeat the way that a piece of paper and a pencil can repeat a plan, right? Because if we feel something on a certain day, or if your toes are too cold, right? And your brain is 100 miles away because your toes are too cold, which sounds so dumb, but that's so true for me. Like, I literally cannot think if my toes are cold, right? Then I don't get as much done in that day that my plan said I should.
And that's so a basic need, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so we have to create space inside of our plans, it to have that ebb and flow of energy and the peaks and valleys of go and rest, or like work and then meet my needs and work and meet my needs. And that is not something that, you know, generally we're supposed to do. So it really causes us then to repeat the cycle over and over again.
So would you say when we're talking about energy, since we as HSPs already do have a unique level of emotional and physical exhaustion that comes with being so sensitive, would you say that that's how you would manage kind of the added stresses of running your own business along with everything else that we deal with as HSPs, is to take those breaks?
Definitely.
Set aside that time.
That's like a physical manifestation of the overwhelm that you might be feeling. But the deeper level of that is really to evaluate every action for what it is and evaluate the validity of that action, right? This is true, for example, in everything that you touch in your life. So one of the major things that we have done in our world is I even changed my closet. I would spend so much time putting things on that didn't feel right. And then I would just like, I don't really know where. And I would spend all of this time sort of like never feeling right in my clothes and settling for things that I didn't really like because either they were a good price or whatever, like whatever it was. It can be simple, like creating a wardrobe inside of your closet that works best for you. Or it could be over, you know, massive big things like the way that you put patterns into your business and the way that you manage your time inside of your business. I think the main issue that I see with HSPs and highly sensitive business owners is that they can't identify what's overstimulating them. And that's all it takes is identifying it, drawing it into awareness, and then you can banish it, literally banish it, because then you can put some truth behind it and then you can set it down. Doesn't mean that it goes away. You will never stop being overstimulated. That's just your nature. That's your nervous system responding to its environment, but you can identify it. And then in that case, change your life to avoid the overwhelm. So for example, I often know when I'm going to be overwhelmed. I've got this, this, and this coming up. So I will say to my husband, this particular 3-day period is going to be a little crazy for me, and I can see how it's going to overwhelm me. And I know that if I don't take care of myself or ask for help now, that these things, I'm going to feel overwhelmed. And therefore, these are the kinds of things I need your help with during those 3 days, right? And so I've changed sort of my approach to how I look at overwhelm. Same thing with, your emotions around how you feel about things as they relate to your business or your anxieties. So if you know you're going to have an anxiety about an upcoming offer, you need to sit down with your business partner, your partner in life, your therapist, whoever, and say, I'm anticipating this feeling, right? Because we anticipate feelings all the time. And it's when those feelings come to fruition that we feel overwhelmed, right? And we don't have to do that. It's a choice. Now, can you control the temperature outside? No, those kinds of stimulations are nervous system related that you don't always control. But many of those things are something that you can control by making better decisions or making more conscious decisions or putting yourself in scenarios in which you can remove yourself or avoid things that are going to overwhelm you.
Yeah, I think awareness, like you keep saying, is really key. I love how, you know, you're talking about if you have something coming up, to have a plan. Essentially, I think for the most part, our lives are fairly predictable and we can kind of, you know, plan for the most part. If we know a certain person sets us off or we know a certain situation or we do have something coming up like the holidays, for example, we have certain triggers. We know, you know, we can at least have a plan, an escape plan or something, you know, to just give us that little bit of time that we need.
So when we talk about overstimulation as it relates to HSPs, we almost always are talking about the negative version of overstimulation.
That's true.
But that also means that I get to experience life in a way where I can turn it on in a magical way that I, when I'm ignoring my sensitivities or pushing them down, that I don't have that choice. That is also a choice. So for example, I'm a fabulous consultant because business consultant, because when I sit down with my clients, I can turn on my intuition to max, right? And I can ask really valuable questions and I can turn on the part of my brain that takes the concepts and the ideas that my clients have and puts them into this beautiful puzzle of like this whole idea and really fleshes it out very quickly. That is what is my superpower. I didn't know that before I understood that I was a highly sensitive person, but it is what really makes me incredibly great at business consulting because I can turn that dial up, right? When I need to tap into the soul of the business owner or into the needs of the business owner. So it has its both its positive and I can turn on my receptors in positive ways and in negative ways. So when we say it's a choice, I can also choose to have, you know, a beautiful, I mean, have you ever gone on a walk with someone that's like, yeah, whatever, it's a tree. And you're like,
my husband,
no, look at that tree. Like, oh, do you see that tree? Like, and you're like having this total, like amazing, colorful experience with this tree. And I don't know about you, but like the tree is telling you a story or, you know, whatever you're experiencing while you're in nature and the person next to you is like, yeah, it's tree. And you're like, no, but look, you know, or a piece of artwork, you get to choose that too. And so you get to choose to have those experiences inside of your business as well. You choose the overwhelm and you choose the beauty as well. And so it's really about making a choice, a conscious choice to allow space for you to turn on the best parts of you more often than you're experiencing the things that overstimulate you.
No, that's fantastic. Thank you for bringing that up about seeing it also as a positive, especially in business. I think that's a really valid point to bring up. What's your definition of success as an HSP in business?
I think, honestly, there's a lot of answers there, right? Like there's the peripheral answers like, oh, I get to work for myself. Oh, I get to blah, blah, blah. But the actual answer to all of that for me is inner peace. And balance being the step above inner peace for me, balance is the catalyst for inner peace. But choosing, making my own choices in my business, choosing my actions, that is for me, the definition of success where I can choose peace. I can consistently choose peace over and over again versus when I worked in corporate life, or when I was, you know, at the beholdens of a specific client's set of design rules or production schedules or whatever, I as a business owner, I get to choose. And that level of choice makes such a huge difference for my internal peace, because what I can do is I can choose whether or not it matches the intentions of my business and whether or not it's for the greater good of the community and whether or not it's for my own internal soul's purpose. Those things are a huge part, in my opinion, of whether or not I feel successful inside of a day or even inside of a single moment.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. What are you working on now, Kelly? And can you tell our listeners where to find out more about you and your work?
Sure. So you can find me on my website, kellydabb.com, or it's kellydabb.com. I'm sure you're going to link that as well.
I will.
And
yes.
Then, inside there, we also have a community for highly sensitive CEOs called the Reset Center. It's totally off social media, totally offline. It's a totally self-paced, self-led community where we do interactive lessons and activities specifically for highly sensitive CEOs. And also we do reset sessions, which are like business consulting specifically for people that are ready to reset their business to match their sensitivities and align with their sensitivities. And then we also also do these as like VIP days where you can literally sit with us for an entire day and work on resetting and seeing what a day to day would be like as a highly sensitive person. And then also, right now we are, working on, some fun and interesting things as they relate to, using, nature's bounties, like herbs and all kinds of things for, stabilizing the nervous system of the highly sensitive person and the highly sensitive CEO, so that we can create a world where we rely on things in nature that already exist to support us as highly sensitive CEOs. So that's what's coming next, for the highly sensitive CEO, as well as additional content, all kinds of interviews and fun things we have going on. But my goal is really to create a respite from the noise for highly sensitive CEOs, so that there's a hiding place where you can go to have resources, and you can go to have someone who understands what it means to be highly sensitive in a world where most business coaches and most business education isn't for you. It doesn't understand you and your needs. And that's my ultimate goal.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for being with us today and for sharing all of your thoughts and experiences, especially as an HSP in business. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Kelly is a great example of how, as HSPs, we can create our own path and find purpose and success as business owners. She shared some wonderful examples of how we can set our own rules in our careers as well as in our personal lives as highly sensitive people. It won't always be easy, and like Kelly, we may need to reset until it feels right for us, but when we find ways to align our work with our sensibilities, everything else in our lives has the potential to be less complicated. You can find out more about Kelly and her work through the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast, please leave a review and share it with others. And now you can support this Labor of Love podcast through Patreon. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the good stuff. And I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for spending time with me here on the Highly Sensitive Healing Podcast. New episodes are released Wednesdays, and please feel free to reach out with any questions or comments. And never forget, we were given this highly sensitive life because we're strong enough to live it.